Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 758 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, bringing in the former Rocket coach and just the best darn analyst in the business, Jeff Van Gundy, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 again. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how's everything?
Coach, we're watching Steph Curry.
I want to know why Coach
ESPN
never comes.
Is doing their top 10 Steph Curry. I don't know how you could possibly pick the top 10 Steph Curry threes in his career, but it's just ridiculous how good this. You've got to guard him at half court. That one that he threw in against Oklahoma City to win the game in overtime, it's just, it's unbelievable, Coach, how good this guy is. We were saying best ever, but will he set a record that nobody can ever break?
Well, you never say no one could ever break it, but he's going to set a standard that is going to be very, very challenging to reach. And I think where he had the huge impact is the volume of threes that he was willing to take, and the ones where he really revolutionized the game was the three off the dribble. You know, it's gone incrementally. It was rarely shot, then it was shot off the pass, then a few guys shot it off the dribble. Now, too many guys actually shoot it off the dribble, but he, like, revolutionized the three because of the different ways that he was able to create the threes for himself.
Yeah, I think it almost, Coach, you make a really good point. What the Golden State Warriors have done with not just Steph Curry, but also Klay, who's a catch-and-shoot guy, and then you have off-the-bounce Steph, who can really shoot it anywhere at any time, any positioning. It has other teams and other players doing something that doesn't make a lot of sense for them. All you're doing is playing into Golden State's hands when you play that brand of basketball against these types of prolific shooters.
But more than that, I think it's, Coach, it's made kids do it. It's made everybody. Everybody is playing. Has it been good for the game?
Depends on how much you like three-point shooting. I think for me, just as a fan, I find the number of threes shot by, and it's, everybody plays basically the same style of play except for Golden State. Golden State moves a lot more than most NBA teams. I find that most NBA teams play fairly similarly now in a five-out alignment with some very basic pick-and-roll actions and shoot a ton of threes. I don't find three-point shooting at the numbers it's being shot today particularly exciting. Some may do like that. I like action at the basket. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, when you see guys challenge a shot blocker at the rim. That's what I find exciting. I find fast break basketball exciting, where instead of running for the three, you're running for, you know, again, plays at the basket. But everybody has a different feeling of what brings them excitement on the court. Three-point shooting, to me, excessive three-point shooting and free throw shooting are boring. That's why I like that the free throws are so far down this year. I think it's been great for the game.
Well, Lance brought up a good point. Probably Hakeem Olajuwon's block record is probably going to be unbreakable because nobody drives the paint anymore.
It's a great point. There's just less action at the basket. And even when people get in there, they spray it out to the three-point line. So, yeah, it's the game is certainly played differently, and the skill level is high. But at times, I find it a bit repetitive.
Yeah, I think we can all, you know, everyone who's watched basketball from the 80s and 90s, of course, 90s got, there was a grind now. I mean, it was physically really something else in the mid-90s with you guys and Cleveland and Miami. Those are the specific teams that I remember. But anyway, you know, it's interesting, Coach, because they say basketball, they say sports is cyclical, and there are teams who run the ball more in football, for example. And I know there's going to be some teams who are more motion game and less inclined to shoot from three. But the math of the way the analytics have gotten into every sport now, it's going to be what are the percentages, and I think it's that simple. What percentages give us the best chance to tilt the odds in our favor? That's why I'm not sure we're ever going to see a league that gets away from the three-point shot.
No, I don't think anybody, like, again, to me, it's not about, it's not an all or nothing. It's so individualistic to me on your team and individual players. What I see is everybody shoots the same shots regardless of skill level. And, you know, there's absolute green lights like Steph Curry, but lesser shooters have absolute green lights. And I think when we talk analytics, the one thing that people confuse, I hear a lot of people, and even coaches say, we got to try to get up more three. But that's not the best shot in basketball. The best shot in basketball is the layup. I don't hear any player or coach saying, we got to get more layups or we got to get more free throws. And those are provable in regular season, the best shots you can create. And so I know in the playoffs, you have to be able to score at all different levels of the floor. I know you're not going to three-point shoot your way or just three-point shoot your way to an NBA title. You have to have a mixture of, you know, guys who can get to the rim, guys who can create free throws. You have to have a mid-range shooter who can go get a pull-up when necessary. And then you have to have, you know, guys who stretch the floor to the three as well. So it's interesting to watch and to observe.
Well, I want to take you to the Wayback Machine because you, I remember having you on the air. It was either the game the day before or after. You were going to call Duke and Davidson, and we had you on to talk about the fact that you were going to call a college game, and Steph Curry was playing in that game. Do you remember that, Coach?
I remember the game. I don't remember being on with you the day before.
Okay. I remember we talked to you about that. It may have been after, but we did talk to you about it. What were your thoughts of Steph Curry then? Because that was really before the concept of the lead guard, you know, of who he became, and he wasn't a true quote-unquote point guard. Do you remember what your thoughts were when you watched him in that game?
Yeah, I thought he was good. I didn't see greatness. You know, I didn't. And, you know, what's interesting is Mark Jackson did the game with me, and he saw greatness, you know, in that game. And then it was great that he got to actually coach him. Because, again, I didn't also see how the game was going to evolve to less contact. I thought the physicality of the hand check would, even though it had been sort of reduced, it hadn't been like totally outlawed like it is or was. And now we're getting back to a little bit more physicality. So I didn't know about that. And positionally, I you know, but look, that's underestimating, well, certainly underestimated his skill level. And he is... ability to come back from injury like he did with those ankle injuries.
Yeah.
And his mental strength. Like, I think that so much of it is a league of improvement. And those guys that can improve are those guys that care the deepest and have the right balance of coachability and stubbornness. And Curry has been, like, fabulous in all those areas.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Enough about him. What about our team? 8 of 10, Coach. We got all those things at the rim, three-point shooting. This Rockets team. Now, we've got to take a little – and I've been poo-pooing it a little bit. Maybe you can straighten me out here, but this was supposed to – we're supposed to find out about Jalen Green. He hasn't been part of any of this good stuff. Neither Kevin Porter Jr., for the most part, hasn't been here
for
this good stuff.
Half of it hasn't included him.
No, more than half of it hasn't included him. So, how do you – I mean – we want to see Jalen Green part of this good run, Coach, and we haven't seen it yet.
Well, again, playing well as a super young player in the NBA is hard. So when, you know, Green went out, they played, they started playing more experienced, more veteran, better defenders, and you're going to play better. And so, again, the same with Porter. I mean, these guys are young. They're going to be mistake prone. Porter Jr., I like Green's demeanor. Porter Jr.'s demeanor is a little bit more up and down. And so I'm not surprised when you play, at this moment, better players that you're going to get better results. And I think every team and every organization has to decide for themselves how they see player development. Are we going to give young players minutes and despite how they play and despite the results, because that's how we see player development? Or are we going to be a merit-based organization where you get what you earn? And so I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to do it, but I think if you did it on merit, you know, Green would have started on the bench this year and had to earn his way up and through to get more minutes instead of starting from day one, being the featured guy and playing huge minutes. So, again, there's no right or wrong way. It's all how you see player development. I think the biggest thing that you can learn, though, in player development or as an individual player is that you get what you deserve in professional sports over time.
Yeah.
Because once you learn that, then you understand you've got to produce and perform. And it's not performance art. It's produce and produce victories.
You know, that's a really interesting conversation because I always feel like merit-based will eventually set a standard and people will follow to the standard if you are consistent with it. I think the New England Patriots, for as much talk as Tom Brady, forever, Bill Belichick, and I know you study team building and you're interested in that as well. It's always been, there will be a running back like Ramondre Stevenson this year who's a rookie. He fumbles early in the year. The guy's like, he disappears for five games. Bill Belichick has done this for years and years and years where it is merit-based, but by the time you're ready to come back in and do it again, you have learned, and there's a process at play. And an NBA career doesn't last 2 years. It's going to last longer for Jalen Green. Why not create a process that allows him over the long haul to develop best? This isn't a foot race for the first 10 games to turn him into an all-NBA player. That's not how it works.
Yeah, and I was a little bit like, I think this whole that we've driven into these guys, you know, he stated, I want to get that Rookie of the Year award. Of course you would like to, but it's not important in the long run. Like, in the long run, these guys aren't staying in college. He never went. He played an insignificant year in the G League Ignite, right? They make some money, but it's not really great preparation for the NBA. So to me, I consider him coming straight out of high school to the NBA. And to put pressure on yourself to go out and win an award, I think has a contradictory impact on true development. And true development, as you said, is incremental in nature. Not everybody improves at the same rate. Learning the basics of how you're going to be successful in the NBA, and again, individually, that can come quickly or it can come slowly. And I just think you have to be very intentional about how you try to help these guys improve. And again, the Rockets made, you know, their choice of, you know, playing them big minutes, and that's a defensible choice. It's just, I look at it a little bit differently. I look at it as, you know, let's like teach him how to be a great pro, and whatever minutes he earns, he gets. And that's, you know, if that means at some point in the year 35, great. If that means 15, fine. It's not a race.
We had Tim McMahon on last week and asked him about the East versus West this year, Coach. And he says, it's not even arguable. The East is better. But I'm not so sure that Denver isn't going to be much better as we go along here. Maybe Dallas will improve some here. They got off to some slow starts here, but has there been a takeover? You think this is how it'll be, that the East is a better conference now?
We'll see over time. I think certainly the East has been healthier. I think injury, like you mentioned in Denver, so Jamal Murray is absolutely, game-changing. Kawhi Leonard's injury, game-changing. So there's a lot going on. And let's face it, right now, I don't even know if we're going to be playing games the way the coronavirus is spreading.
Yeah.
Are we heading back to the bubble? It certainly seems like it's going to be that, or we're going to have to pause the league to me. Or just allow guys, if they're asymptomatic, to play with it.
Yeah.
Because right now, it doesn't seem sustainable what's going on. And the competitive integrity of our league is being challenged because we're asking teams to play games as we're having many teams decimated by this virus. So I think that's one to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, have you missed any? I'm sure you haven't missed any Texans games this year. I mean,
I missed them all except the first one. I gave my tickets away.
You've been?
I am.
You are going to the games?
I went to the first game, the Jacksonville.
Oh, you missed them all except that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've, but this is my frustration. And I don't know if I'm the only one frustrated by this. Houston sports, our best player is being paid to sit out with the Texans. Yeah. Our best player is being paid to sit out with the Rockets. And our best pitcher was paid, and he had an injury in Verlander, and he sat out the whole year. It's like, I don't understand. I just don't understand.
It's pretty frustrating. And it's
and I certainly don't understand the Watson situation. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, I don't understand Walls too, but like the Watson situation, I just don't get. If he's not suspended, like, what are we doing?
That's what NFL people are saying too. Like,
but he started it. He doesn't. He said he won't play for him.
It doesn't matter what he says.
Won't play, then I'm not paying him.
Well, yeah, right. Well,
if you don't play, you don't get a. If you don't play, you don't get paid.
This guy is part of the greatest health club ever. I get paid whatever he gets paid, $10 million. I don't know what he's making this year.
That's a little low. Oh,
yeah. 10.
He's got a signing bonus.
Yeah, but he's got 10. He's making 10 this year.
10 this year, and then it goes to 30. 10
is nothing.
And it goes to 37 next year.
I work out. I get a little lift in. I do a couple of agility drills. What? Like, I don't get it. And how does this increase trade value? I don't – just because he's not hurt?
Yeah.
I'm like – I don't get it.
None of us do.
Well, it was going to come down. But, Coach, listen, they're big on face of the franchise. Is that the guy that you want as your face of your franchise out there every week, is a guy who's got all these accusations against him?
I can separate the two. Do I want to introduce him to my daughter? No. Do I want to see him play quarterback on Sunday? Yes.
There is a difference.
There is a difference.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. There is no question about that. Keep your daughter. Don't be going.
But it doesn't. It really doesn't make sense. And Wall, the Rockets. You know what the Rockets need right now? A point guard. Hey, don't they have a guy making $40 million that plays point guard? Yeah, they
do. I'm not coming back unless I get the start. I don't. I just don't get it. I don't even get why, as a player, I gotta say, I don't get as a player why I'd want to sit out a year of my prime. I don't. I may not get everything I want from my role if I'm Wall, but I'm playing ball. Like, at least I have a chance to. And this doesn't help his trade value. Like,
no.
Sitting out, that I don't see. And if I'm Watson, I'm not giving up a year of my prime as an NFL quarterback to sit out and get a lift in on Kirby Avenue.
Yeah.
Well, no, more than that. He's up at Wildcat playing golf every day now, Coach. That's what. So
what?
That's not even a joke. Well, not every day.
Not every.
Oh, but really?
Most days.
See, I'm just like.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to why you asked if I was going.
Yeah.
After I went to that first game, and we played a good game, and Tyrod Taylor, yeah. It was great. Yeah. Played a really good game. Played a really good half until Taylor got hurt in Cleveland, right? But I just was frustrated by I don't get it. So if a team's not trying to play their best players and win, I guess it's my – if they're trying to build and rebuild or whatever they're doing, that's their choice. And they still have my money, so from season tickets. So
right.
They don't really care about my opinion. So, but I'm not interested. I'm just not interested if the team's not trying to win.
And they're not. How did you go to any World Series games?
I did not. I went to the playoff. I went to the divisional round.
Red Sox or who was for White Sox?
White Sox.
White Sox. Yeah.
Is this one of the most fun teams that you've ever? I mean, you're a big sports fan, and you've been in New York, and you like. Where do the Astros rank in terms of teams that you've enjoyed to follow?
I love them. I love watching them. I love their joy. I love how good they are. You know, so they're fun, and I think they obviously are super talented. I love Dusty Baker. I just, you know, ached that he was, you know, that we weren't able to win.
Yeah.
I just wanted him to win so badly. And I don't know if signing Correa is the right thing or not, but I just don't want to hear we don't have the money to do it. We have the money, whether we choose to or not, that's another strategic decision.
No,
but we have the money.
Yeah, I don't think that's not it. It's the philosophy of 10 years, Coach.
Right, I agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
That's what I was going to ask you. You sign him to a 10-year deal?
No, one of the first things you ever told us was that one of the first things you did was you came in, you looked at the long-term contracts that were being given out and said, this can't happen anymore. Now, those guys weren't Carlos Correa and Altuve and Bregman, right. And there's a big difference.
But I still wouldn't. I mean, I get the philosophy of not giving a 10-year contract. I don't know what the limit would be in baseball that I would, but certainly, that's not sustainable.
Would you give Kelvin Cato a long-term contract?
Yeah, not off exhibition season. I don't think I would.
Second exhibition game.
Oh, I've seen enough. $42 million. Is that enough, Kelvin? Good. Let's make it a 6-year deal, or was it seven? That seemed long.
Seemed like a long time.
I don't feel like he's still continually
competed.
Still
one of my favorite guys I coached in the Rockets, though.
Well, he wasn't exactly a grinder.
No,
but I loved him. Great personality, team all the time.
Was he really?
Yeah, great. Really liked him.
That's awesome.
Before we let you go, so we have somebody we have on a weekly basis really wants to meet you at some point. It's I don't know if you know Greg Cosell. He is Howard Cosell's nephew, and he works at NFL Films. Watches more film. Has been instrumental in putting together film sessions on ESPN for Ron Jaworski over the years. The guy's as good as it gets, and he is like a big fan of yours and the concept of team build. I told him that you're a big Bill Belichick, Parcells guy, and I know he knows Parcells for years. So he would love to meet you at some point. He's up in New Jersey at NFL Films. We have him on every Friday, and he's phenomenal.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a legend in NFL Films, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Coach,
all right, guys.
We appreciate it. As always, it's great to talk to you, Coach. Bye. Appreciate you. There's Coach Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5.
I don't get it.
And I just don't get it.
I don't get it. Like, he couldn't even come up with a word. And he's not playing. I just don't get that. I don't either. Guys.
No.
Can get paid and then not play,
his point about,
when they're ready to play.
His point about in his prime and he doesn't, you know, he just is going to sit out. I just want to play ball. It's not the same. Back in the day, guys just wanted to play. Now I got my bag.
I think Deshaun Watson wants to play.
Oh, I think he does too, but not when he tells the owner, I'll never play for you again.
I think he thought that he was going to
get traded.
I think he thought he was going to get traded. Then all of a sudden, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, all those beeps are pop-up.
Ting, ting, ting.
They're
ting,
beep, boop, beep, 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 beep. Ding, 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 ding. That slot machine you hear in the background?
No.
Those are lawsuits.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Craps, out 7. Winner, heartache. I shouldn't even say that, actually.
Oh, no, he's hard 10.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, no.
Crabs out 7.
No, he's a hard 4.
Crabs out 7.
He's a hard 4.
What does that mean?
That's his number.
22?
4. His number's 4.
What do you mean 4? Oh, he's number 4, but he's also a 2-2.
Right. That's
you can roll a hard 8. It's a hard 4. It's 22 lawsuits.
I know. You get 3-1. He's a hard 4. Yeah.
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 He's got 22 lawsuits. That's 2-2. That's a hard 4.
Mm.
I'd play don't pass on that if I were you.
Yeah. Let's delete that segment. The end of this segment.
Let's go ahead and delete that.
Aaron?
Go ahead and dump that whole segment, please.
We got to catch up on breaks here. We really appreciate Coach Van Gundy for being here. We got still plenty ahead. Right now, though, we got Coors Light. If you're on Twitch right now, you see my Coors Light laptop. It's not Blue Mountains, and that's a problem, but my laptop isn't cold. So, I mean, the Blue Mountains will tell you how cold and clean and crisp and refreshing your beer is. Your beer doesn't have Blue Mountains. Mine does. Mine tells me it's cold. Mine is the smartest beer in the world. It will tell me when it's cold. Oh, you can have your warm German beer that tastes like motor oil. Go ahead. You have that. While I'm having a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Listen, I don't always drink Coors Light. I don't have one right now. But when I drink beer, which is most of the time, I drink Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. I was refreshed yesterday. My wife is none too pleased because I snored a lot when I got home. But I was refreshed, okay? That's for sure. She found out how refreshed I was when I got home last night. Here's the deal. You're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's Coors Light.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, this Christmas, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas. Available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Even more alluring than lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas so seductive, you'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feel of wearing next to nothing at all. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today. Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. In a year filled with the unexpected, get her something she can count on. But you need to order today because last year they sold out before Christmas. Here is what you do. You go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas and tell them John Granato sent you.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. 832 713-780-3776. If you've got anything that you want to talk about with what Coach Van Gundy talked about, you're more than welcome to get in here. I think Lesbian Craig does have something that he would like to comment about Jeff Van Gundy because he says he's got a basketball question. What's up, Lesbian Craig? How you doing?
I'm great, man. How you guys
How we
doing?
Feeling, man? Craig? You doing good?
Yeah, man. You know, I'm hanging. Yeah, I'm hanging. Did I catch you guys in a segment where I need to be on a particular topic? I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Okay, a couple quick things. Michael Parsons ain't Lawrence Taylor until he's Lawrence Taylor. Shut up, Cowboy fan. I don't hate you, but shut up. I'm pretty sure Ray Allen woke up this morning and was like, yeah, bitches, but I could defend. So I'll ask you guys. Game 7. Ray Allen defending Steph. Steph defending Ray Allen. Who you got?
I would probably say Steph defending Ray, only because Ray was not a guy that would take you off the dribble.
Except Ray could go up, I think he'd get his shot over Steph.
No, and Steph's not a defender.
No.
That's the point. I mean, that's why the question's interesting. Well, only because if you crowd him, he's not going, like Steph, you know, can get a shot off from anywhere very, very quickly. And he's a prolific shooter from anywhere at any point. Ray's a better defender. Steph, though, can take you off so many dribbles. I mean, he can take you off the dribble. He can shoot it from way, way, way long distance. Ray was more just catch and shoot in the corner. That's an easier guy to guard. Not that he's easy to guard and not that Steph is a good defender, but Steph being a bad defender makes a bigger difference when he's on a point guard.
Listen, at the three-point line, I don't know that there's anybody you would rather have than Steph.
That's
I know Ray Allen would be the guy, but I don't know how you stop Steph. How you stop him?
Yeah, I think I take Ray Allen because I think he can affect Steph's game. I don't think Steph can affect anybody's game. People misinterpret Steph Curry's defensive, I won't say ability. They're right on about his defensive ability, but he actually gives you a great effort. Steph works as hard defensively as he does offensively. He just ain't got it. You know, you just ain't got that part of the game on any level that's more than just par. Hey, man, you know, we trying to make it through life with more birdies and more pars than bogeys for sure, and Steph is a bogey defensively. So, yeah, that was a good all I had, man. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. I will hang up, but Lance, I would, when we get a chance, like to hear you talk about, I think the Texans shouldn't reach for a quarterback in the first round. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Yep. Y'all have a happy pagan holiday season.
You too. Appreciate it, Craig. I don't think you should reach. I don't think you should ever reach for a quarterback. Because when you do, and if you reach for a quarterback, that means you know you're reaching. If you have him evaluated highly, then draft him. But if you don't have him evaluated highly on your board and you're drafting quarterback because you need quarterback, that is one of the worst things you can do because you have to stick with that quarterback. Ask the Jets with Sam Darnold. You have to stick with that quarterback for a minimum of 3 years.
Well,
a minimum of 3 years.
Arizona had 1 year of Josh Rosen and beat it.
But Josh Rosen had a different head coach and they had a chance to get another quarterback. It's not as easy.
The Bears didn't stick with Trubisky too long. I mean,
yeah, the Bears stuck with him until this last year.
Yeah. Couple, three, yeah.
No, he was drafted the same as Deshaun, 4 years.
So Todd McShay put out his mock draft.
No quarterback.
And they were asked about the New York Giants because Danny Dimes. But listen, and this goes to everybody in this NFL draft. Here's what Todd McShay had to say about the quarterbacks.
Daniel Jones, he's coming up on that fifth-year option. He's had trouble staying healthy. We see the talent. I mean, he's a big quarterback. He's got mobility. He can be accurate when things are working well, but the turnovers and the durability struggles make you wonder if he's going to be the long-term answer. Mm. But sitting at 5 and 7 in terms of their first-round picks, I just don't see a quarterback, as I said before in this class, that you're going to bring in and utilize one of those picks that's going to be an immediate upgrade or a long-term upgrade.
But somebody's going inside the first 10. He may not have them inside his first 10. I don't think he has a quarterback in his first 10 of his mock draft. Somebody's going.
Yeah.
Chances are somebody's going top 5.
Well, so what is his mock draft? These are the best players, or this is how the draft is going to go?
It's his mock draft. Well, it's not his big board.
Then how could you not put a quarterback in the top 10?
Maybe, but I don't know. I think McShay will start to come around on quarterback. Most people do. I just know historically – one thing I've found is the NFL is predictable. It's very predictable. You just have to learn where the pieces slot. A quarterback going in the top 3 is a very predictable move.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And I don't know if it's Kenny Pickett, it's Matt Corral. He's got Pickett 12, Matt Corral 13, Malik Willis 17. I don't think Malik Willis goes in the first. I don't think Desmond Ridder goes in the first. I'm not sure there are more than 3 quarterbacks who go in the first.
Okay, so Keyshawn, I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, said there's no franchise quarterbacks in this draft.
That's fine.
Do you see a franchise quarterback in the draft?
I think Pickett might be. I think Matt Corral might be. But I don't – once again, I have not studied them as closely as I need to. But to Craig's point, if you reach on a quarterback, meaning you're drafting them much higher than where you have them graded and rated – then you are going to have to stick it out. Almost every case, Josh Rosen's one of the rare cases we haven't seen it. if you draft a quarterback inside the top five, top six picks, you're going to, because Josh Rosen was after everyone was off the board. That's where the Cardinals got him in the middle of the first. We're talking about a top six pick. We're talking about Houston Texans. Pick one, two, three, four. If you draft a quarterback, he's going to be your quarterback for a while. You can't get away from a first-round quarterback that easily. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because you want to believe in them. You've invested in them. You need them to be good quarterbacks. You want to give them every chance to succeed. It must be the play caller. We need better offensive linemen. We got to get this guy more weapons. And finally you realize, oh, it's Mitch Trubisky. It's ultimately who it was. It's Mitch Trubisky. Well, it's Mitch Trubisky plus everything else for Chicago.
Where are you on? Listen, it's the most important position, and I'm going to take a chance. Obviously, teams take chances all the time. You got to hit on them, but especially if you're in the top four. But you're nuts if you don't take the best quarterback in the draft when you need a quarterback because it's so important.
Well, you buy into that? How good is the best quarterback in the draft? That you have to ask yourself that question. You know, in that 14 draft, it was Blake Bortles was the second pick. It was Johnny, Blake, Teddy Bridgewater, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr. And they drafted Blake Bortles. And then the worst thing to happen to them was they got to an AFC championship game with Blake Bortles. And Blake was actually played pretty well that year. But it was a one-year outlier. Blaine Gabbert was drafted in the first round. Jacksonville had to stick with him for 3 years. There's an example of one organization that started in 2011 and then it went to 2014. So here's what they had. They had a run of Blaine Gabbert. Then it went Blake Bortles. And I think a fourth year Blake Bortles. That's seven straight years of quarterbacks where they reached and they missed and they had to stick with it for seven straight years. You know what damage that does to your fan base?
I understand that. And then there was the Cleveland Browns who kept, I mean, he just passed and passed. And I'm going to, okay, well, I'll trade and I'll pick up all these draft picks and never draft a quarterback. And you know what happened? He lost his job because he wouldn't draft a quarterback. It's so important. And finally, when they draft Baker with the first pick, they're finally a decent football team.
But you lose your job if you draft a quarterback, too. Brian Billick once said this to us at NFL Films. As soon as you draft a quarterback in the first round, the clock is ticking on your job. And that's that. And if you don't develop them in a certain time, you are fired.
And when you don't have a quarterback, the clock is ticking on your job.
Yeah, but at least you have plausible deniability.
Yeah, but that only goes
I'm
so
a
far.
Better – I'm a much bigger fan.
You know what?
Coach
Cully has plausible deniability.
I'm a don't do – this is what I am not a do anything. It's better than doing nothing. I think there's a difference. The do anything crowd just wants something to happen. That's how you end up making bad deals for Laremy Tunsil. It's got to be the right – you got to do things the right way. And if you don't do things the right way, you get yourself in trouble. And I think drafting quarterbacks is one of the worst things you can do unless you believe in them. And if you rate them highly, yes, by all means, draft the highest rated quarterback. But stay true to your evaluations. In your heart, if you know that this guy, I just don't know if I'm all the way in on this quarterback, you can't do it. You can't do it. You
gotta
believe.
No, but if I really like the guy and it's between him and a defensive end, give me the quarterback. If I like him, I think, well, you know what? This guy's got a shot. Kenny Pickett or Kayvon Thibodeau, give me Pickett.
He's got it. They've got to be closely ranked, though.
Yeah.
That's the same. It's no different than the idea of we're not going to draft the best player. We're just going to draft a position of need. That doesn't work out very well.
No, usually. But quarterback's
you pass
different.
On good
quarterback's
players.
Different than any position of need.
It is if they're good.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
if they're average. It's
no,
not
no,
that
no,
different.
No,
you
no.
can find an average quarterback.
No, but you could also get a bust defensive end. I mean, that happens. It happens all the
time.
You
could, but you can draft another defensive end faster. Ask the Atlanta
Falcons.
Still
lost the same number two overall pick.
I know,
it's
but the Atlanta Falcons, but you have two defensive ends.
I got it.
You have two pass rushers. There's one quarterback, and you are stuck 3 to 4 years with that quarterback if you miss.
Guess what the Redskins at the time did? They drafted number two overall and in the fourth round, and the fourth rounder won it. And the fourth rounder got the job.
What are you talking about?
Kirk Cousins. They
right.
In the same draft.
Right.
RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
And they
Cousins.
Traded up ridiculously for that quarterback, and that was a mistake.
And yet
they gave up all that.
And if they loved him so much, why would they draft a guy in the fourth round? It's amazing.
I know. It didn't make sense, but that's that whole, the concept of giving up everything for a quarter. Now, they loved RG3.
Yeah.
So they loved RG3. So that's understandable. If you're all in, if you miss, you miss. But if you are lukewarm and you still draft a guy, then you get everything you deserve.
Yep. 843 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, maybe the worst trailer I've ever seen. Maybe we will play it. You won't be able to see it, but you can hear it, and we'll explain it. It's awful. It is awful, and it's something that you'll never, ever watch in your life. But you have to hear it next, right here. In the meantime.
Well, it sounds enticing.
Well, it really, it's so bad, it kind of is.
I've got something that is enticing. It's the Red Tag Bonus Cash deal going on at Gulf Coast Chevy in Angleton. And it's about a 42-minute drive from here in the Galleria area, for example. It is a trip that is going to save you thousands of dollars. You can start the car buying experience online at latencycars.com. But, you know, they have some great dealer cash back and incentive offers going on right now. But this is the first time I've seen the $500 Red Tag Bonus Cash, where on select popular 2021 and 2022 models like the Chevy Silverado, like the Chevy Equinox, like the Traverse, they are going to have red tags on them. And if you see a red tag, that is an additional $500 off. An additional $500 off on top of what they're already doing as well. So make sure that you check out the website at LanceZCars.com and take advantage of this great offer. You might find a program that you're happy with from a lease standpoint, a purchase standpoint, but you might also find something that you really love with that red tag bonus cash, $500 off. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:48 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with Aaron, and this is bad. Netflix has put out, and who casts these things? Okay,
where are you watching, Larry David?
I am not watching Larry.
So in this, he's got a show that he wants to sell. So he goes to Netflix, and you see the guy who's from Veep, actually, and he's at Netflix, and they're helping to cast and put the show together for Netflix. And, of course, Larry does something that, of course, you know, things happen, and he ends up going
inappropriate somehow.
Yeah, he ends up going to Hulu or Amazon Prime after that, and there's a casting guy there that's different. And so I don't know who cast this stuff, but this one was poorly cast, but are we sure that that's the worst of? Is it written well? Does this look like it's written well?
No, the whole thing is just off. So Sean Payton got suspended by the NFL for 1 year.
I remember that, yeah.
And in that year, he went back and he coached his kids' his peewee football team, or whatever it is, a grammar school team or whatever it is. Kevin James is portraying Sean Payton. Of all the people, of all the actors in all the world, Kevin James as Sean Payton just doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
But
it's curious.
But you're right. That might not be the worst thing. The worst thing might be the writing. Here is the trailer of the new Sean Payton Netflix movie.
Hey, Coach. Mr. Goodall is on the phone?
Roger Goodall's on the phone. The commissioner.
He didn't say what his job was.
Coach Payton has been suspended for a full year.
Sean, what are you doing here?
Just came to watch my son play football. Played a great game out there.
He lost 0-40.
No one says 0-40.
It's horrible. He was good, too. A couple of good guys.
We're the worst team in the league.
They need some motivation. You're seriously ordering a pizza right now?
Oh, yeah, I want stuffed crust. What kind of question is that?
You're only here because you got suspended.
Being Sean Payton's son ain't easy.
It may be easier on him if you were on that field with us every day.
My butthole!
You do need help.
My butthole?
Well, he got Peyton kicked in gonna be our the new field goal, kicked coordinator. The center in the butt.
Our defense sucks, center. Too.
This is fall down?
Yeah, he doesn't like contact.
You know he's playing football?
This is really...
I think it'll be good for you guys to connect.
You guys know what Drew Brees does?
Fight hard.
When everybody else has gone home, Drew stays on the field. See what he could have done better. That's how you become great.
I believe that we will win.
This is Mighty Ducks, only Sean Payton
The Warriors did lose, just to be totally
all right. This is, we can't do anymore.
That's terrible.
It's awful. It is awful. Why did you do that? The acting.
Why did you play that?
Awful.
It is Mighty, it's Sean Payton, Mighty Ducks. That's all it is.
Hey, somebody hit me in my butthole. Be quiet, Chunk.
And the kid is.
What is this,
Goonies? The kid's on the practice field with his shoulder pads ordering a pizza.
It's Sandlot meets Goonies meets. You know, Mighty Ducks.
That's Sean Payton.
And they put Sean Payton in that. This is in Little Giants.
And
what are we doing?
The field goal kicking donkey or whatever.
Who's playing the part of, you know, it'd be great. You know what you know what could rescue this? If they get, who's somebody who yells and screams at people right now? Who's an actor or a comedian or who's somebody that
Gilbert
you know?
Gilbert Godfrey.
No, not him. He makes everything worse.
He'd be better than Kevin James.
Who is is there a comedian or an actor or somebody who does a lot of yelling and screaming who can be Greg Williams?
George Costanza's dad.
No, who can be Greg Williams?
Oh, yeah. It'd be
who can
hard.
Be Greg
He's
Williams?
Dead. He's dead.
I want a mean person to be Greg Williams who cusses out children.
Yeah.
Then we got something going.
Right.
Remember when Sean Payton got suspended for that year? Remember how yoked he got? He got in great shape.
Well, he was
the year he was out.
He had the gym with the kids.
I think he got divorced too, and like he was getting his best self together.
Yeah. Well, good for him. God bless. I mean, not the divorce thing, but getting yourself in shape.
Oh, Orny.
Yeah.
Mike Ornstein. There's a guy. All right, I'm gonna tell y'all this. Hopefully, this will resonate. There's a guy who has been around. A lot of stuff.
Yep.
He knows where all the bodies are buried. His name is Mike Ornstein. Orny was, he's affectionately known as Orny. Orny was part of, Dusty, you can call if you want and tell the story about Orny at Darren McFadden's house. But Ornstein was one of the ones who was saying they would give $5,000 for the bounty with the Saints. Ornstein's close with Sean Payton and the GM. Saints GM. I'm blanking out on Sean Payton and
anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, he was the one who was offering the money in the email for a bounty. Like he was one of the ones who's Mickey Loomis putting that kind of stuff out there. Ornstein has been close with the Raiders in the background.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who say Ornstein.
Oh, there's a story about Orny in, I forget, Sports Illustrated did it, I think. Oh, it was not very flattering.
No, he did jail time. Ornstein ended up going to prison.
Yeah.
And there are some people who believe that people at the very high level in the NFL are very appreciative that he took a fall at one point.
Yeah.
Ornstein's been involved with ticket stuff for Super Bowls. Ornstein at one point, unless this is Dusty right here, I'll just tell a very quick story. He was with another marketing. Ornstein did marketing stuff. He's still to this day consultants for people because he gets stuff done. But it makes you nervous being around him because he's not super nice all the time. Anyway, he was coming out of Darren McFadden's house, and this other guy who was his arch enemy was coming into Darren McFadden's house for a meeting for marketing when McFadden was coming out of Arkansas. They squared off in the yard and started having a fist fight with all the guys at McFadden's just gathered around watching this fist
fight.
Orny was
gets McFadden.
They were both in the 50s, and they're just like, come on, you son of a bitch. Like squaring up, throwing punches at each other. Orny's the one who, do you remember when there was a fight at the Combine? There was a fight between two guys at the Combine. One of them was Ornstein.
Oh.
Orny was in the middle of the fight at the Combine. I can't remember who he fought with at the Combine. I'm just telling you that, and Ornstein supposedly, when he dies, he's got all these stories and memoirs that are going to go to his daughter, and she's going to do a book. Because they say Ornie's stories, and I've heard some of them. You probably have, too. It's incredible, the movie that can be made.
That's the movie I want to see.
That's the movie I want to see. And he is going to, apparently, when he dies, it's like it's gonna jump off. And you're going to find out things that are really, really troubling.
It's 856 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Leach has been in the news a little bit here lately. Oh, we got BK coming up? Oh, okay. We got BK.
Oh, he tried.
BK tried.
He gave it a shot. I got the final results.
He gave it his best shot. We'll have him on. We'll talk to him, and we'll get through this Mike Leach thing as well. Leach going after Texas Tech is kind of funny. So we'll do that as well. But right now we got insurance. You're going to need some insurance, Lance.
TGS Insurance. Get your homeowner's insurance shopped for within 15 seconds. Now, if you shop for your homeowner's insurance yourself, it'll take you a long time. You're going to have to go through press one for this, press two for that, press three. You're on hold. Wait. And by the time you're done, you get your quote. It's moving on to the next company and the next company. Wouldn't you love for a company like TGS Insurance to be able to shop your homeowner's insurance through a variety of A-rated insurance companies? They can do it within seconds. You get a firm quote back in 15 seconds. And in most cases, you are going to save annually. Sometimes the saving may be as low as couple hundred dollars, which why would you not take that? But the average savings is $900. And I know people who have saved up over $2,000 into $3,000 because they had multiple things covered in their homeowner's insurance. You could be that person. Why pay too much for your homeowner's insurance when all you have to do is text the word money to 232323? That's money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.